what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Winners of the Austin Chronicles Best Combat Sports Show in Austin 7 years running. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And joining me as always, the one person in Austin who could not be prouder of the Dodgers' new World Series rings, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, do you have like a poster of that ring up yet?
I don't. I need one. I need a commemorative ring. You have a Houston Astros ring. I remember that from a few years ago.
I do.
Did you slap me with the ring on when you did that?
I did not. We did not have the ring yet.
Okay.
That came later. But I did leave a nice handprint on your chest after that slap bit.
Yeah, that was not enjoyable. Well, guys, you can follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. It is great to see you, Eddie. It's funny. You called out my Dodgers shirt. I was wearing a Dodgers hat earlier as well. And someone today, I was on a Zoom call because that's what we do in 2021. And they accused me of being a swagger jacker. I mean, that's kind of what she called me. She's like, wait a minute. Are you just wearing that because you like them because they won? I said no. I'm a Dodger fan. I'm also a Clippers fan, which shows you that I've gone through a lot of pain as a Clippers fan, just years and years and years, kind of like you with the Bears, right? Just these terrible teams. But, you know, it was, so she, I said, yeah, though I actually had season tickets growing up to the Clippers and the Dodgers. And so I used to go to a lot of games. And so, yeah, no, I've been waiting for this since 1988, and the Clippers have been waiting
forever.
Yeah,
did you tell her that you even lost a slap bet last time when the Astros beat them in the World Series?
I am not a front runner, Eddie. I am not a front runner.
I can send her that video.
Yeah, we have it. It's a meme. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it is. We should repost that.
Oh, man, that's maybe when I slap you. So, well, Eddie.
But, like, maybe behind the picture of the Dodgers ring, and then you swipe, like, throwback Thursday. To when the Astros won and Eddie slapped the crap out of Jordan.
I don't love that. I mean, you and the Astros are a bunch of cheaters. And did you hear about that?
Where was Game 7?
Where was that year? Where was the? Doesn't matter. I mean, if you cheat all the way, you every squirrel finds a nut sometimes. Who was it that played? Like it was Carrie Underwood's. Like before he cheats when the Astros came out this year. That every time it was fantastic. So
I'm glad everyone gets to feel proud of themselves for
good for them.
Weird ways to boo.
Good for them. Eddie, I can imagine you are exhausted. I talked to you last Wednesday, and you were recording Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and which is after you recorded our show, and that kind of laid the week for what, 6 nights of wrestling in a row?
Oh my God! If you skip the WWE Hall of Fame last Tuesday, you had NXT Wednesday and Thursday, SmackDown Friday, WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. Monday, you've got Raw. Tuesday, you've got NXT. Wednesday, AEW. Thursday, you got Impact. Friday, you got SmackDown. That is 10 days of wrestling in a row. That's too much wrestling. And that's not counting the two other AEW shows, NXT UK, 205 Live, Ring of Honor, Major League Wrestling.
Is there like NWA somewhere too?
Oh, my God. And what?
NWA, isn't that somewhere as well? Is that still on Tuesday nights?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
I didn't watch any of that.
It's too much.
I watched one night of WrestleMania, and
one or two.
I watched night two.
Oh, you picked the wrong night.
And honestly, I literally only watched. I went back and I watched highlights. I tried to like skip through just to see the ending of some matches, but then I watched the Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan. So that was my WrestleMania highlight, I guess you could say. I never saw Bad Bunny. I haven't gone back and saw that. I did see the Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks highlights. I saw how she whipped her with her. She whipped her hair back and forth. And that was
like
impressive.
Like a gunshot.
But
yeah, Bad Bunny was also impressive. Yeah, you picked the wrong night to watch. You know, and I always say that I like to be surprised, and I'm really surprised by WWE anymore. But this was a weekend of surprises. I did not think the people who won were going to win. I thought they're going to go a completely different direction sometimes. So in that way, it was good. But some of it was also still crap, especially the stuff with The Fiend.
Did you watch it? Yeah. Did you watch it with Stu? Did you get over there to Super Bowl Stu or Radio Row Stu? Or
I watched night two with Stu.
Okay. There you go.
So, yeah, and he was live streaming us on YouTube and Twitch, which I hate. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I did not.
Sometimes you got to bless the world with my face.
I did not watch that. So, and yeah, I did coach water polo, quite a bit of water polo over the weekend. And I got a mask sunburn. So now with the sun coming back out, I got a mask sunburn. You can see it a little bit on this side right here where it's red here, red here. Not so much here, right? And
little Tommy boy for you.
So it was my wife's like, you got fried, except for where your mask was. And so
Now here's the $1 million question, Jordan. Did you win anything?
We did. We won. We lost. We learned. And today we practiced and we learned again.
So we won like one out of the tournament?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Our girls and our boys, this could be a rebuilding year, but we're having a great year. We're having a lot of fun. We're learning a lot.
Is it wrong that I'm making fun of high school kids losing matches?
Yeah, I mean, you are like in your 50s and you're making fun of younger kids. So yeah, that's probably not appropriate. So
hey, I'm only 3 years older than you, buddy.
I'm not gonna vouch for you that one. So, but Eddie, there was, when you say there was too much wrestling, you could almost make that claim for there's too much MMA over the weekend. And Saturday was just the right amount. A Saturday afternoon, early, 3 o'clock. It was, I watched before I went and coached water polo. I watched some of the matches, some of the fights, which was great. And then I came back and watched the rest of them. But Eddie, let's start with UFC on ABC2. Marvin Vettori, it's like deja vu all over again. Literally did the same playbook that Derek Brunson did to Kevin Holland. Just dominated. I mean, unanimous decision, 50-44 across three scorecards. I know it was on short notice, but Marvin Vettori not super happy with his performance, but it was, it was a win is a win.
I mean, it is a win. It's great for his pocketbook, but not so much for his chances at the middleweight title. And that's what he really, really wants. And he says he wants Adesanya next. And I'm just going, you got to bring me a little bit more than that next time, buddy.
Yeah, we had so much hope for March and April, right? We had the Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland match, which we didn't think would produce a title contender. But then we had Marvin Vettori versus Darren Till, which we thought that if Darren Till beat Marvin Vettori, Darren Till, he could probably get a title shot. We had Robert Whittaker coming up this week against Paulo Costa. That fight's not happening. Obviously, we know that Paulo Costa falls out. And then, Darren Till falls out as well. And so now you're at a point where I kind of agree with you, right? Vettori, he didn't do enough to lay claim on a number one contender's fight, right? This week you got Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum. Since Robert Whittaker has lost to Israel Adesanya, let's see, he's come back. And who has he beat? We know he's beat Jared Cannonier. He's beat Darren Till. And now he would have another fight and he would be against another, top guy, right? Kelvin Gastelum, a fight that was supposed to happen 2 years ago. And, or is it, it's almost 3 years ago now. That's crazy. And
was that long? Wow.
I just can't imagine that if Whittaker beats Gastelum this week, that he wouldn't get the title shot over Marvin Vettori.
And I would have to say that it doesn't matter how he beats him this weekend. Because number one, he's beating, Gastelum as of Monday was ranked number 8, whereas Kevin Holland was number 10. Whittaker is ranked number 1, whereas Vettori was 6. So, to me, it's a no-brainer. Whittaker wins this. He gets the rematch. The question for me then becomes, will Whittaker use the game plan that we saw from the Polish power of Jan Blachowicz and actually use his damn wrestling? But that's for a later time.
Yeah. I'd like to think that, let's say Kelvin Gastelum wins, right? I still think that you don't put any of the guys right now into a title shot. I think you make Derek Brunson fight Marvin Vettori. The fact that they both beat the same guy, a couple weeks apart, you have Derek Brunson, who's ranked higher than Vettori. He's on a good win streak as well. That would be a fight I like to see. And you could make a number one contenders fight out of that. Obviously,
I think it just depends on when Adesanya wants to come back. If he wants to return sooner and get that Blachowicz taste out of his mouth, you could just throw Brunson in there.
Yeah, I would be, Brunson, you're looking at Brunson, you could also look at Vettori, but neither of them were that impressive, right, in their wins over Kevin Holland. Let's jump over there, right? Kevin Holland, he was your fighter of the year last year. Very quickly, he has become not your fighter of the year this year. we can say yes. This was the wrong move for Holland to take this fight on short notice. This was an opportunity for him to wipe that kind of bad taste out of his mouth from what happened with Derek Brunson. But obviously, that's not what happened.
Yeah, and we're told that Kevin Holland is a jiu-jitsu black belt. But on the ground against Derek Brunson, he just really got exposed. And then to 3 weeks later, turn around and take a fight against the same type of fighter without having really had enough time to put in the work to improve your wrestling defense like that. It was just a bad fight for him. Bad matchup, short notice. It was just a bad move all around. I know you want to get that taste out of your mouth and kind of like feed your ego and pump yourself back up, but this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I a lot of people have made a lot that Kevin Holland needs to go and learn how to wrestle, right? He needs to go spend some time somewhere. I did see a picture of him with I think he actually tweeted out with a Dagestani beard. And he said, I'll be back in 9 months. I'm going off to take up Khabib's offer to go out to San Jose and just learn how to wrestle there.
Now, why wasn't it just with the Khabib hat, the fuzzy hat? That would have been even better.
That could have been funny. So,
but I think it was Ariel Helwani said that they should make that a reality show on UFC Fight Pass. Kevin Holland at AKA getting just like smothered by wrestlers and talking crap the whole time.
Big mouth.
I'd actually watch that.
Big mouth at AKA.
I'd actually watch that. Yeah.
That might be interesting.
That'd be fun.
So that was the main event, right, on Saturday night. Just a few other, you know, highlights over the night. You had Arnold Allen defeat Sadiq Youssef. Julian Marquez defeat Sam Alvey via, you know, technical submission. I mean, literally made him pass out. Sam Alvey, super tough. I think they said that this was his 50th professional fight, which just shows how long he's been around. But Julian Marquez, I think the biggest thing, you know, after the blunder of the year, right, when he completely failed with Molly Cyrus, trying to get her to do some like henna tattoo, right? We talked about last week. He calls out Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce to a game of pickleball. He said pickleball or badminton. He should have just stuck with pickleball.
What the hell is pickleball?
Do you not know what pickleball is?
I'm from Texas. We play football. We play baseball.
Well, pickleball
we
is
punch
like
each other in the face.
Okay, it's like it's like tennis on a smaller court with a wiffle ball almost and a smaller racket, like a wooden racket. You'll see people playing and it's easier on your knees and you can play later. But having
sounds
said
like
that,
lower badminton.
But having said that, you know, you're from Texas. He got quite the responses. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce all responded and all agreed to say that they would do it, which is kind of crazy for Julian Marquez to actually get them to respond.
Yeah, I mean, for publicity, it was a great move by him. It was dumb. But publicity-wise, it was a great move by him. Call out some big stars and something that they're almost guaranteed to say yes to, you know.
Or they could just completely ignore him.
Easy on the knees.
Or they could just completely ignore him, right?
Yeah, they're not going to injure themselves. But no, it's good publicity for them too.
Sure, if it was like John Jones or like a star in the UFC, as opposed to Julian Marquez, right?
Well, those guys don't need it, so.
That's true.
You take what you can get.
Hopefully he doesn't tell them, hey guys, if you just put a henna tattoo of the Cuban Missile Crisis on your chest, then I'll come play you. Just learn from your mistakes, Julian Marquez.
Just say yes, Julian.
Yeah. Huge win for Mackenzie Dern. Shows she's really improving. She's changed camps. She's, you know, I remember when she was in Arizona and she was kind of having some rough issues in her camp and she moved to train with Jason Perillo in Orange County. Right at his gym. I want to say it's the Hookah gym out there. But she looked great, right? I was really surprised. I mean, Nina Nunez, came in ranked 5th in the division. Mackenzie Dern ranked 11th. She was able to take her down to the ground, and she had her in that armbar kind of prep position, trying to just break that arm free. Literally just sat there and had, you know, a couple minutes to kind of break that arm free and finally did it with about 10 seconds left in the round.
Yeah, it was impressive how she just took her time and methodically broke the arm down and got it free. But I, unlike you, was not surprised at all by this. I know Nina Ansarov / Nunes was ranked 5, but she just had a baby like, 6-8 months ago? That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
And
I've never had a baby, so I don't know, actually.
But I know Mackenzie Dern went through the same thing after she had her kid. Her first match back was kind of an ugly loss, too. So I'm thinking maybe, getting under fire, going full speed, taking the full shots for the first time after that, it's a little different. It takes time to kind of get back into it, a little cage rust.
So it sounds like you're not putting as much stock then in Mackenzie Dern's win, right? It seems like you're taking a little bit away from her win as opposed to giving her the credit for beating someone's five because you think that, hey, because Nina was coming off a baby.
Well, first off, I didn't think Nina should still be ranked number five after all that time off. But secondly, no, I just knew she was going to win.
Okay. So what do you do with her next then, right? Because, I mean,
she needs a bigger name.
Well, I mean,
not that Nina wasn't a big name, but if she's going to take her place at number five, most likely, or somewhere in that 5, 6, 7 range, she needs a Claudia Gadelha, Michelle Waterson.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kind of name, you know?
Yep. I'm,
she needs someone that's going to work her way up there, and she would be a great matchup for any of the top three after one or two more fights.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
I've heard people say they want to see her with Joanna. I'm like, not just yet. Pump the brakes a little bit. Pump
yeah, I was actually really impressed. You know, I have, you know, we know how good she is in jiu-jitsu, but she was able to stand on the feet as well, and she's getting a little bit more well-rounded. So I thought it was a great win for Mackenzie Dern.
And just as importantly, she is making weight a lot easier these days.
Yeah, that's true too. She's
just more professional.
Yeah. All right. So Daniel Rodriguez defeats Mike Perry via unanimous decision. Perry's now lost 4 of 5, right? Eddie, the question comes, you know, I think he tweeted afterwards, like, I used to be good at this. But are we going to see Mike Perry in the PFL next season?
I would assume Bellator first. But I'm almost definitely sure you're not going to see him in the UFC. He's got one more fight on his contract.
Which
may or may not get it.
Yeah, he may not get it. I mean, four out of five, I mean, I don't know if he gets it, man.
Although I know Dana likes him because he's just interesting and brings eyeballs. But it's for the wrong reasons. But we know sometimes Dana loves those reasons too. So
yeah,
it's kind of iffy.
All right. Well, let's jump over to Bellator 256. We're going to work our way backwards, Eddie. So on Friday night, you had Bellator. And I stayed up for this. I'm not going to say that. I stayed up for maybe the first 3.5 rounds. And then I fell asleep. But it was Ryan Bader defeating Lyoto Machida. I came back and I watched, and I'm assuming exactly what I thought happened in the in those second and third rounds happened in the fourth and fifth rounds, with Bader just taking him down and Machida not being able to do much on it. It wasn't the most exciting fight, but you know, Ryan Bader advances. He survived that first round, advances now in the tournament. He is going to face the winner of Corey Anderson versus, now this is a tough one, where, and I've been practicing, Eddie, so I can say it later. I know it's Yagshimuradov. And I don't know if I can even pronounce his first name.
I was going to ask about the first name. The last name's easy.
Dov Letzdan Yagshimuradov. And versus Corey Anderson, right? So Bellator did announce that they were going to, and since Bader advances, they're going to have a interim heavyweight belt, and they're going to announce who will fight for that in the next couple of weeks. Anything that you want to just mention on the Ryan Bader-Lyoto Machida matchup?
Not so much, but it does make me wonder if we're going to see a third match between them at some point.
You know, these guys still seem to be going a different direction, right? I think Ryan Bader, you could say, is getting better, right? We've seen him get better in Bellator. He's looked better as a heavyweight, much, you know, as opposed to a light heavyweight. But I just don't think Lyoto Machida is going that way. I would see him more on that Legends tour, which I just don't think Ryan Bader is there yet. Kat Zingano, she got a featherweight win. She wants Chris Cyborg next after their matchup against Leslie Smith. She's won 2 fights in a row now in Bellator. She's ranked 3rd in the division behind Arlene Blenkow and Julia Budd. Budd fights this weekend, and those are the last 2 opponents of Chris Cyborg. Kat, obviously, easily the biggest name besides Cyborg in the Bellator featherweight division. And so you could see her get a shot next over, so let's say Julia Budd wins this weekend. I still think you could put Kat in there against Chris Cyborg just for the name value alone.
Especially if you remember how Julia Budd lost the title to Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
It was as bad as Megan Anderson against Amanda Nunes. It's like she didn't even belong in the cage. And Kat versus Chris Cyborg is one of those matchups we've been waiting for a while. And Bellator is definitely not going to let that one slip by.
Yeah.
As long as Cyborg beats Leslie Smith, which most of us don't doubt will happen. Sorry, yeah. Leslie.
Liz Carmouche defeated Vanessa Porto. She's actually on a, I was surprised to see that she's actually ranked 2nd in the division, in the flyweight division. Flyweight champion Juliana Velasquez is first, and then Lee Malay McFarlane is next, right? And then she's on a 2-fight win streak in Bellator too. So, you know, you could put her against, actually, I think she actually trains with Lee Malay McFarlane. So I don't think that they would match them up. I don't know the camp dynamics there. But, you know, she's up there as well. Adam Borks, he defeated Jeremy Kennedy. I was surprised that he's ranked third in the division. He's only got one loss to Darren Caldwell. Still surprised that he doesn't have a Wikipedia page. But I do like...
I was waiting on you to mention that.
I do like Adam Borks. So
you should go ahead and make that.
I don't have the time for that. I think that's all we need to talk about Bellator 256. Let's jump into 1FC. Wednesday God, night, Eddie... I was watching. I started from the beginning, and I was excited when first thing I saw, Eddie Alvarez already in the cage, playing the champ is here. I was ready to go. You were actually recording, and I text you quickly, this fight sucks. And because it was over so done, you're like, what? So Eddie Alvarez is disqualified in just one minute, right, for hitting Lapicus in the back of the head. It looked questionable to me, right? I thought it was not. I don't think it was behind the ear. What did you think, Eddie?
I saw most of them were kind of behind the ear, but one of them was directly to the back of the head, and that's because Lapicus was also turning his face away from Alvarez to give him the back of his head, presumably so he wouldn't hit him. But the thing that got me was that Lapicus literally acted like he'd been shot. You see him after that next to last punch, and his face is just like all contorted, like he's in so much pain. And then he does get one more punch in the face from Eddie Alvarez. But even before that, he was acting like he'd been shot. And I didn't even realize this until Monday. And Ariel Helwani was saying that Lapicus was taken off on a stretcher. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah,
stretcher.
I mean, Eddie Alvarez mentioned that, right? He said that during the broadcast, right? And like, you feel bad for Eddie Alvarez, who was like clearly broken up over what had happened, but... You know, I agree with you. It did seem like he was acting a little bit more. Aljamain Sterling also, who was active that whole night, he also said, hey, that congratulated Lapicus for graduating from his acting class. and so we'll talk a little bit more about Aljo a little bit later, Eddie. But yeah.
I mean, one thing, taking a knee and saying into the face and people saying you're acting is one thing. But it's just those weren't Eddie Alvarez's full punches either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Saying you took that and you ended up on a stretcher.
Yeah. All right. In the, I guess this is the main event. In the second fight, which is the main event, but there was a fight afterwards. Adriano Moraes defeated Demetrius Johnson with just a flush knee on the ground, and then put him down and then finished him.
What is up with ONE and their rules? They clearly state that kicks to the head of a grounded opponent are illegal, but somehow knees to the head of a grounded opponent are okay.
I mean, it was flush.
What in the hell?
I mean, it was a direct hit, man. It looked not great.
It was harder than the one that Aljamain Sterling took.
Yeah.
Which is why you see Johnson's eyes rolling back in his head.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, right? So Moraes, first off, looked much bigger than DJ, which I think there's some details about weight cutting in ONE. We don't need to get into that right now.
There's some details about just drug use in ONE.
Sure.
That there's no way that guy makes weight. He was like almost a full head taller than DJ.
Let's make sure we say allegedly
there.
He cuts
down to 125.
DJ... Yeah, DJ a week ago, or not, I guess after the Aljamain Peter Yan fight, he came out and he said, look, here's the thing. You can't stall the fight by sitting on your knees. Knees to a grounded opponent should be allowed. He said that before the fight, right?
He said that before the fight?
He said that, yeah, after Aljamain had been hit with a knee. And then he came back and got, that's kind of poetic justice, maybe for Aljamain. Both Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling, and he did say afterwards, I mean, he stood by his comments, right? You kind of can't walk that back. Both Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling, they had thoughts about it. Yan said, congrats to Adriano Moraes. Nice knee and good to see DJ recovered quickly. Little dagger at Aljo right there. And even you said it, that shot was more flush than Aljo's shot. Then Aljo, he said that this is why knees to down opponents are vicious and illegal in MMA and in the UFC. If this was in the USA, this fight, this knee would not be allowed. And Mighty Mouse can get up more safe and protective manner. And so that's why he disagrees with those. So despite DJ and Eddie, though, on this card, it did not do great in ratings at all. And you talked about how AEW was on this right before. It was the lead-in going into this fight card, right? And AEW, it did great. Had a pretty good rating. It said that a Nielsen rating of 0.28, the fifth highest show on cable. ONE ends up with a 0.08 rating, drops down to 88th. With just 196,000 viewers.
Well, that's, you can't hold on to your viewers when 2 minutes into the broadcast, you get someone disqualified for the weakest reason since John Jones lost his ONE fight. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, you could at least give him a warning first or something, but the problem, the guy's like acting as on a stretcher. Come on.
The problem is, though, is this was their big show, right? You had the names on it. Like, this is the show that was going to draw eyeballs in. You look back this next week, I mean, Christian Lee versus Timofey Nastyukin, it's a good fight, and we like it, but people are not going to watch that. TNT 3, John Lineker is in the main event. No one's watching that. And then in one on TNT 4, Sage Northcutt just fell out of it against Shin Aoki. So this has got to be a disaster for like U.S. audiences to like gauge for TNT. Like, this is not good.
You know, Chatri Sitjadong, he released a string of expletives like a mile long last week. He had to have, because it could not have gone any worse for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Could not have gone any worse. Your headliner, Eddie Alvarez, he's gone in 2 minutes. Your main eventer, that you basically spent all this money on promoting, you made the big trade for, you think he's going to get you into the U.S. market, and he gets just blown away by what normally would have been a legal shot. I mean, he had to be upset.
All right, Eddie, that is ONE FC, Bellator, and UFC on ABC2. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well.
Jordan. Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. That's right, Joe Rogan is afraid of us. But Jordan, did you catch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
You know, I saw only the cold open. That was the only thing I saw so far.
Oh, with the Mumford guy showing up and taking over things. That was really the most talked about thing of the night, which is weird because I don't even care about Mumford & Sons at all. But it was Carey Mulligan who acted in stuff that I can't recall. She looks like this dude whose name I don't know.
Wow. Not my view over here, so...
Yeah, yeah. But there were, the Weird Little Flute sketch was pretty funny. That was one of their digital shorts, the song. And then the IBS skit. There are going to be some letters written about that one. The IBS people are going to be upset with Saturday Night Live. And yes, by IBS, I mean irritable bowel. All right, Jordan, things are getting a little testy lately between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. What's up with that?
God, just when you thought that things were great between Conor and Dustin, they were so chummy, they were so friendly during their first fight and afterwards, even like trying to negotiate the second fight, things kind of escalated. Things escalated quickly, Brick. You shot a man. You killed a man. So on Sunday night, I wish I would have gotten right the first time. On Sunday night, Dustin Poirier, he tweets out, in response, I'm not even actually sure what the response was to, but he said, that's a fun prediction.
I think Conor predicted how he was going to end the fight.
So he said, that's a fun prediction. You also predicted a donation to my foundation, and you and your team stopped responding after the fight in January. See you soon, July 10th, paid in full. Eddie, those are fighting words right there. When you call someone out for not paying money to your foundation like that, which we've talked about so much, you can understand why that might... anger Conor McGregor. So Conor responds, a donation, not a debt. We've been awaiting the plans for the money that never came. I do with all my donations, know where it's going dot for dot. Otherwise it goes walking. As is the case with a lot of these foundations, sadly, you took the big G over the belt. That shows I was right. Then Dustin came back, 100%, never a debt. You offered, we accepted. And like I said, your team never responded to our emails regarding the process of where funds would be put to work. July 10th, you will taste defeat yet again. Then Conor's manager got into the mix. Adi Attar said it was a low blow to out Conor like that.
Well, maybe they should have responded to his emails.
But then Conor, he keeps going. He dug in pretty hard on Monday. He said, you're ripped, you inbred hillbilly. Why do you wink with your ears? You brain dead hillbilly. 500K with no plan in place. You hang tight, fool. You must be new to money. The fight is off, by the way. I'm going to fight someone else on the 10th. Good luck on your old contract, kid. So Dustin just responds with a video of him KOing Connor and just says, okay. Connor responds with his K over and says, smell you later, Pete, because remember he called him P-head back in the day before their fight. And then Connor said that he will make Dustin pay with his brains for smearing his name. So I guess the fight is back on now because he's going to pay for it with his brains. But this was quite
so childish.
This was quite the roller coaster of emotions for me, Eddie. At one point, you know, I was like, is this fight happening? What is going on? Why did Connor welch on this donation? Obviously, this is not a great look for Connor. He said he was going to do it. It sounds like, you know, not responding is not a great way to do it. You could understand that, hey, if you're going to donate $500,000, you do want to know where it goes. But you've got to...
Well, yeah, that's for normal people, not guys walking around with $2 million on their wrist.
But you still... You need to respond when they are going to tell you where it's going. Like, you got to... I totally get due diligence. That makes 100% sense. But I'm not exactly sure, like I told you before, what you said it was a prediction, right? But this is what's interesting to me. Connor needs the nastiness.
Mystic Mac.
Connor needs to be angry. We've seen him be nice for too long. He was nice with Cowboy Cerrone. And yes, he won really quickly. But he was nice with Dustin Poirier. We want to see that old nasty Conor McGregor come out, the one that got him to the top. Although we did see a nasty Conor McGregor with the Khabib fight, and we know how that went for him. But that makes me more interested in seeing this fight now a little bit more, with a little bit of more anger between the two, a little bit more bad blood. Now, at the end of the day, do I think Conor's going to make the donation? Yes, I do. Do I think that these guys will squash their beef in the cage on July 10th? I do as well. But I do think that this will sell more pay-per-views. I think this will have some, you know, a challenge going into the fight. And at the end of the day, it's just business.
I don't think it's actually going to do much more for the fight than it already did in the fight, just being the fight already does for itself, especially this far out. But I think you're right. Connor does need the nastiness. And he needs to get back to maybe his Mystic Mac self, which is where the predictions came from, I guess. But seriously, when you fly to Saudi Arabia and you buy $5 million worth of watches, how are you going to get this caught up on half a mil?
Yeah, well, what I was just saying, though, Eddie, I do think it will be – I think it could sell more pay-per-views, especially if there's bad blood leading into fight week and going into press conferences and media events like that and then going back and forth like this.
Well, if it continues,
I think that will help right? But I understand that we are far away from it.
But notice that Dustin hasn't gone to the name-calling. He's not going to feed the beast here. You know, Connor's calling him an inbred hillbilly, a brain-dead hillbilly.
He did question his integrity. Like, he did call him out on this. That's a pretty big one. So I think he's done his part in this.
I think Connor's pulling a Ronda Rousey at the moment and just getting himself angry to get himself into it. And I don't think it's going to work. But that's just me. I predict these things. Speaking of my predictions, I might have got another one right. Aljamain Sterling's going to have neck surgery, which might sideline him for a bit longer, possibly to the end of the year and through the new year. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Aljamain Sterling announced last week on his podcast that it's time that he's been thinking about this for the last 10 years. He's had some issues, and now is the time that he's going to have neck surgery. It's just, you know, just the perfect timing where he can take that time away. And Aljo says that he'll be back later this year. He thinks maybe August, September, October, but it's a neck surgery. We never know, right? It's not a fusion surgery, he said.
It's a little quick.
But, you know, he comes back. Obviously, you know, Petr Yan, not happy. He wants the UFC to strip him. You know, you could, if you don't know, if depending on how the surgery goes, you could make an interim title fight. I'd be okay with that. You take the winner of Sanhagen versus Dillashaw, put them up against Petr Yan, and then they fight the winner, or they fight Aljo at some point. I don't think you strip him.
I'd be okay with that.
Right? You know, Petr Yan, he waited about 8 months to defend the belt, and he had some things going on as well, so I don't think you strip him. But it does seem a little bit that Aljamain Sterling is leaning in to being a heel champion, right?
A little bit, yeah. But if you're going to, like I said, if you're going to take this time, now is the time, because you go into a championship, or you go to defend your championship with a bad neck. You're just setting yourself up for failure.
Especially over a guy that was already beating you, you know, pretty bad.
Yeah, especially if you're already getting, like, if you're going to get pay-per-view points, you don't want to risk that, especially for the next fight, because it'll be even more. Now, this one got a little more personal, Jordan. Rose Namajunas seems to be raising the heat on her match with Weili Zhang. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Rose was speaking with a Lithuanian outlet. She's Lithuanian. And ahead of her fight next week with Zhang Weili. And she's discussed the Lithuanian struggle of being under communism until 1990. She also mentioned that, you know, Zhang Weili is from China, who are under communist rule still today, and said, look, I don't hate Weili or anything like that, but I do feel as though I have a lot to fight for in this fight and what she represents. Then she makes the comment, better dead than red. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that Weili is red. You know, that's what she represents. It's nothing personal against her, but that's a huge motivating factor of why I fight, and I fight for freedom, and I've got the Christ consciousness. I've got Lithuanian blood, and I've got the American dream, and all of those things I'm taking with me into this fight. Now Rose gets deep when you get into fights. Like, I think back to her fight against Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and she was like reciting the Lord's Prayer in Joanna's face before the fight. Obviously, I'm still excited for this. I don't think we need to go to a, you know, fighting against communism in this fight, but still, I do love this matchup.
It just reminds you that you got to have a screw loose to do this for a living, right? Yeah, a little bit of a screw loose. And has she talked to Zhang about her thoughts on politics? No. She might not even be a communist. Who knows? She just happens to be from there. I don't know. But it's weird, and it's... Fighters are nuts, all right? Now, from the young nuts to the old nuts, Evander Holyfield versus Tyson is off. But Holyfield's still on. What's up with that?
Yeah, so over the weekend, I actually thought I heard that that Evander Holyfield versus Mike Tyson was going to happen. It was going to be on Triller, and it would be the co-main event of Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos, June 5th. Then, I think it was on Sunday or so, the fight got announced that Holyfield will indeed return. He's going to face Kevin McBride, an 8-round exhibition. McBride's actually 47 years old. He's the guy that originally ended Tyson's career back in 2005. He was 35-10 and won. He had 29 KOs. He retired back in 2011. So he's coming back. So old guys, Tyson still says he wants Lennox Lewis. He wants Evander Holyfield, and he wants Tyson Fury in an exhibition. Eddie, let's go quickly. I got some great new fights for you. Neil Magny versus Jeff Neal, fight night May 8th. Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy, UFC 264. Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chiasson, UFC Fight Night, July 24th. And this one, I love this fight, Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick, UFC Fight Night, July 24th. And Eddie, that's what's up with that. That's new fights, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey, 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 hey. What's up with that?
It's dark and hell is hot. Ain't no sunshine when it's on. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when it's on.
Eddie, I will never forget UFC 126, Anderson Silva versus Vitor Belfort. Anderson Silva coming out to Ain't No Sunshine by DMX. One of the classic walk-ins. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. This weekend, you've got UFC on ESPN 22. Eddie, Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum, the main event. Should determine who will fight Israel Adesanya next. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Robert Whittaker owns his own destiny, Eddie. A win, obviously, should get him a rematch against Israel Adesanya. Not sure what happens if Gastelum were to take that win. Obviously, we were looking forward to this fight. It was supposed to be for the title a few years ago. Whittaker had to pull out the day of the fight due to an abdominal hernia. That was February 2019, so 2 years ago, UFC 234.
That was a nasty injury, too.
That is not great. Co-main event, Jeremy Stevens returns to lightweight for the first time since 2012. Eddie, who was Jeremy Stevens' last lightweight fight against in 2012? It was a loss.
Eve Edwards.
It was Eve Edwards. Great job. He hasn't won a fight since 2018. He's got losses to Calvin Kattar, Yair Rodriguez, Zabit, Jose Aldo. Good losses. But, you know, he definitely needs a win. Eddie, let's jump over to Bellator. It's one of those weekends where maybe Bellator actually has the better fight card. Whittaker versus Gastelum might be the best fight of the week. But this is a great card. Vadim Nemkov versus Phil Davis in the main event, putting up his title in the opening rounds of the light heavyweight Grand Prix.
I completely agree with you in that aspect because for a main card, top to bottom, the Bellator, to me, I mean, yeah, Paul Daly, Vader Ortega, two people who may not be still huge names, but they bring it every time. Vader Ortega, she is a beast, dude. And then Corey Anderson versus Yakshmiradov. And no one knows anything about Yakshmiradov. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
No, he doesn't. He has a loss to Magomed Ankalaev back in 2014, who's in the UFC right now. But we don't know much about him, right? That's Corey Anderson versus him. Phil Davis and Nemkov fought before. Nemkov got a split decision win. You've got one on TNT, Christian Lee versus Timofey Nastyukin on Wednesday night. Eddie, but also this weekend, man, Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. I hate that we're saying this. It's on Triller, fight.tv. I think Jake Paul's going to KO him, and I hate to say that.
Are you kidding me? What is wrong? Is your hair gel too greasy or something?
It might be this too much chlorine.
This is a guy who fought Robbie Lawler with 4-ounce gloves, and you think some YouTuber with huge 12-ounce gloves is going to knock him out?
I mean, it's an 8-round, 200-pound fight. He's got the reach.
Ben
he's got
Askren
the weight.
Still has
he's got the height.
Hands.
I don't know, man.
Ben Askren still has marshmallow hands, but he's been training this for like the last like 15 years, okay? Come on, you got to give him some credit. He's not going to knock him out, but I would still say he's going to win. And I hope, just for fun, he just throws him around a little bit.
That would be okay. I would be okay with that.
And also, and it could be like within the same week, we could see both Paul brothers knocked out because his brother Logan Paul got stunned by KO at WrestleMania. So if we see Ben Askren knock out Jake Paul, I mean, can we end this whole Paul thing and just get him off YouTube?
Eddie, those are a little bit different. I'm not sure if you know this, but the stunner, it's scripted. It's predetermined.
I don't think KO pulled back.
I will not use the F word. Don't worry, Eddie. I will not use that word. Mark Henry would not be happy with
me. Did you know that Frank Mir's on this card too?
I did know that Frank Mir, he's fighting Steve Cunningham. Eddie, this is interesting. What's the chance that you would actually pay for this fight?
I got two chances. Slim and fat.
Okay. All right. You don't want to see Justin Bieber or the Black Keys or Doja Cat? Diplo?
No.
Major Lazer?
Maybe if it was her. This Mount Westmore has me intrigued. It looks like a Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40.
Reminds me of, remember the old West Side Connection back in the day? That was...
Maybe a little 213.
Golly, I like that. No, we're not watching this. We're better than that, Eddie. We're purist. My problem,
also
my
the same
fear
time
about,
as UFC, right?
My fear about Ben Askren, though, right? I mean, he's been training for this, but he's just really been training to take people down and wrestle them. I don't want to see it. I don't want Jake Paul to beat Ben Askren, but I'm a little nervous.
He's been doing some boxing, some stand up training the last decade, though. I know he doesn't do.
Is it
going to
be terrible? Is it going to be terrible if he wins?
Yes. Oh, if he wins?
Yeah. If Jake Paul wins.
Oh, either one will be unbearable if they win. So, but I'd rather see Ben Askren still be unbearable than some idiot Gen Z YouTuber.
Yeah. So I get it, man.
Do I sound old?
I don't like saying it. So,
am I old?
Well, that is true. You are old.
Don't answer.
But yeah, that'll be the I'm not going to say it. That's not the fight of the weekend. Bellator still is the fight of the weekend for me.
Bellator's the card of the weekend.
Card of the weekend.
Fight of the weekend. Whitaker Gastelum.
Yeah,
let's not forget Andrei Arlovsky versus Chase Sherman. Someone's getting KO'd in that one.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back. We're going to talk next week. UFC 261. We're going to recap everything we talked about today. Hard to believe UFC will be back in front of fans next week in Jacksonville. And, guys, thanks so much for listening. Check us out on Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook. And thanks for listening right here on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
Stay safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.